Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest, Wynn Free, who is the author of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Interdimensional Communication and Global Transformation, which is a book that came out, I believe, in early 2000. And we're going to continue the discussion of the aspect of this, the nature of positive interdimensional communication. Wynn did a great job of introducing this concept in this book. And this book was written a while ago, so one of the things I want to talk to Wynn about today is the principles of interdimensional communication, which are some of which are outlined in the book, and there's some references to other books that can help with this. What have we learned in the meantime since the book has come out? And specifically, want to talk about why interdimensional communication is so critical now for the group, the soul group that is on the earth now helping with the ascension to communicate with the higher dimensional sources. Thanks for joining us, Wynn. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Susan, for inviting me. And
so,
it's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Sedona.
Okay, great. It's very pretty there. I was there a while
yes,
ago. I actually went there for a Academy of Future Science meeting. I was studying the Keys of Enoch at the time. And then ended up doing a 7-day water fast, which was interesting as I climbed some of the structures there that are so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Susan, you've been paying a little attention to my materials since we booked the show, right?
Right.
I think, yeah. So, I've ended up in a very unusual situation, and when you talk about interdimensional communication, since you're talking about things you can't see and you can't feel with your physical senses, then there's, I think most people, including myself, maybe not your listeners, but there's a skepticism of, like, is it real? Two big questions. Is it real? Can you trust them? And if it's real and you can trust them, where do you go with that?
That's exactly right.
The whole nature of everything. So if anyone's listening who is skeptical, I was the world's biggest skeptic.
Right.
Probably the only person in my life, maybe two people influenced me who were channelers. One was Edgar Cayce, and the other was Neil Donald Walsh. And Edgar Cayce, on the strength of his precision, you know, if your listeners don't know, Edgar Cayce was the world's most accurate, documented psychic prophet, and he consistently demonstrated the ability to go into a trance and diagnose illnesses, diagnose medical conditions, and people would go to their doctors, and he was always spot on. He could tell somebody what their blood pressure was, what their white blood cell, whatever that's called, count is, and he was correct. And then he would go on and tell people who they were in past lives. Now that's not as easy to document or prove, but even there were so many instances where he would say, you had a past life as John Elliott in Boston, and you did this and this, and some researcher would go and find John Elliott's grave, okay?
Right.
So, Edgar Cayce and probably Neil Donald Walsh. And Neil Donald Walsh, on the strength of the wisdom that was coming through in conversations with God, I said, this is really awesome wisdom, which I recognized, and decided that there was something to it, that I didn't think Neil Donald Walsh could come up with that. Well,
yeah,
here I am writing a big gap there. Pardon me?
I'm sorry?
Oh, You said something, but I missed it.
Oh, no, I just said there was a big gap between Neil Donald Walsh, who had been homeless and had all this rough life, and what, and yeah. you know, his kind of current mindset, and then what came through were very different. Whereas some of the other channelers, you know, they're more, I guess, they reach a higher level of spiritual evolvement before they ever start the channel, you know.
Right.
That was the thing.
Right.
I interviewed Neil Donald Walsh on my radio, on my television show. I had a TV show for 6 years, and I've been doing this radio show mm-hmm. for 15 years. So most of the people we're talking about, I've that are alive anyway, I've spoken to.
Yes.
So I agree with you. It's very very interesting with him.
Now, one of the other things is I learned. You know, one of the things that really influenced me while I was doing my initial research on David Wilcock was the Carla Ruckert material. Have you run into that? Have you looked at that?
I'm familiar with it, yes.
You are, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I started studying her material, and she was channeling a group soul. And I'm going to go back into explaining who these group souls are.
Okay.
She was channeling what called itself the Ra Group.
Mm-hmm.
And theoretically, David was channeling the Ra Group. And Edgar Cayce was channeling the Ra Group.
Right.
And again, I did a huge amount of research trying to convince myself there was such a thing as a Ra Group. And
right.
that they were all connected to the same source. Because mm-hmm. when it comes to channeling, and this is, you know, at the beginning I said there were three criteria, and one of them is, can you trust them?
Right.
I've learned, and I have no doubt about this, that there are a lot of people who channel what looks like it's positive, but it isn't. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a huge smokescreen to control this realm. And, of course, most people know about the Illuminati and all that stuff. But what
mm-hmm.
they don't know is that there are sources in other dimensions that we could call service to self that are controlling those forces down here or behind them.
Right. When we were learning about what you're just talking about in session, we had seven different levels of energy come in and speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
Seven different levels, all the way from the first level was, you know, humans are here for our, you know, to be controlled, you know, that kind of ET
mm-hmm.
type lower alien message, all the way up to the highest, you know, the highest realms of the spiritual hierarchy. And they showed us seven different levels. And what was interesting to me was the ones close to the top sounded good, but there was some sort of kind of underlying control there or
mm-hmm.
hint of energy that wasn't quite right. And so we were actually
mm-hmm.
taught in session the discernment of that so that we would be able to recognize it. It was just, it was
mm-hmm.
fascinating.
I actually
quit my job as a plastic surgeon, and everybody thought I was crazy because I was making so much money, right? So I quit my job
mm-hmm.
for 5 months and did nothing but spiritual work. And during that time, I studied with a group of six other clairvoyants, and we went through a course, not that we were doing, but that was being done through interdimensional communication. And
mm-hmm.
we were, you know, basically taken through each stage of what, you know, what you're talking about, you know, learning to raise your vibrations, learning to connect, learning to stay focused, learning, you know, the whole
mm-hmm.
thing, learning, and then learning discernment as well. So the
mm-hmm.
whole thing was a course. And then one time we met and we were told we'd all graduated. We were ready to go. One of us went
mm-hmm.
on to write screenplays for Hollywood. One had her own TV
mm-hmm.
show. I, of course, opened my healing center and did radio and TV. In terms of, you know, shows like this for educational purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, others continued to do groups to keep people flowing through the group so that they could, develop spiritually. So it was very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Education.
All right. Well, let me tell you what I've learned about the highest realms. And I'm going to talk about things that people can't validate directly. And I'm not mm-hmm. going to ask you to believe it, but I would suggest that you download my free book. It's a creatorgodbook.com, and read it. Read the experiences I had, because I had a whole bunch of experiences that convinced me that it was real, because I approached it as a skeptic. I was talking to them for 3 years before I said, you know what, I think they are who they say they are. And then, of course, I was studying the Wilcock Channel. And at the time that I wrote the book, David was kind of vacillating between the scientist and a psychic or a,
right.
a channeler. And then after the book came out, he mostly, you know, he changed his public focus, or he emphasized that part of him that was a scientist and a researcher mm-hmm. rather than a channeler. But I studied his channelings up and down, and I was a great fan of Edgar Casey's at that point. I had read mm-hmm. probably 20 books about Edgar Casey when I was in college, and it changed my life, because when I was a physics major in Berkeley, and if anyone asked me about my spirituality, I would have said I was an agnostic. Because mm-hmm. I said, if there's something out there, I don't want to believe it because someone says it. I want to know it for myself.
Right.
So there's the dispensation of the higher realms, and I believe it might even be the highest realms that are out there, has to do with group souls, not individual beings, but group souls that... There's a whole team of individual entities that are mm-hmm. coordinated and working together, and they're dedicated towards the evolution of our planet. And there's two main group souls that I have identified, mm-hmm. and one of them is the group soul that was speaking to Edgar Casey and David Wilcock and Carla Ruckert. They called themselves the Ra Group, and the Ra Group was composed of entities that had gone through lifetimes of physical incarnation, just like we are, and graduated from this realm. It got off the wheel of reincarnation, as the Buddhists would say. Mm-hmm. And then... they continued their evolution in other realms, and eventually, if they chose, because it's all free will, each entity, everyone listening, everyone at the higher realms has free will about what do I do next. Well, if they chose to, they would become part of the group soul, the Ra Group, and the Ra Group would be working towards the evolution of planetary populations that are still stuck in reincarnation, like most of us.
Right.
And throughout our history, the Ra Group has been one of the major forces that has been whispering in the ears of people, and oftentimes positive religions and spiritual groups, or even religions that ended up not staying positive, were initially started by the Ra Group. For mm-hmm. example, in the study I did, it seemed to be a strong indication that Jesus was a member of the Ra Group who came here for a series of incarnations culminating in his Jesus lifetime. And mm-hmm. the goal, as I see it, as I understand it, was not to create a messianic figure or someone to give your power up to, but someone who had very high levels of DNA activation that could radiate love light energy in the space around them, that the Ra Group would work with, and that could evolve the people around them through their love and that if there was a best case scenario, that would go from one person to the next to the next, and the whole world would transform. Mm-hmm. So the reason Edgar Cayce could do all his amazing health stuff, and when I say this, I mean not just the diagnosis, but he could come up with cures that no one else ever knew about, ever heard of, mm-hmm. is because the Ra Group had access to the history of the universe for, you know, millions of years, and they knew whatever worked anywhere else and how to recommend it for this realm.
Right.
And their goal in coming through Wilcock was to give an alert to the shift that was happening and to try to give some guidance and wisdom for people. And on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, half the book is the message of the Ra Group. And when I was initially studying Wilcock, I said, David could not come up with this. This is way beyond his level of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And they were explaining things about themselves through David that they could not explain through Cayce, because Cayce was started out as a fundamentalist Christian, mm-hmm. and they were concerned that if they gave the wrong indications, that Cayce might decide that they were negative and he wouldn't let them come through anymore.
Right.
In fact, for the first 20 years of Cayce's channeling experiences, they only did health readings. They never talked about reincarnation. They never talked mm-hmm. about the higher, you know, a lot of the ways the universe worked, which they did in the second 20 years.
Right.
So the Ra Group is been a very close companion to humankind throughout history. And the other group's soul is named themselves to me the Elohim group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should just share a really quick story of how my own connection started, because it was not like I was looking to be someone who talked to a channel source. I was very happy to write the book about Wilcock, and I was not looking for other channels, and I wasn't studying channeling. I was just writing the book about Wilcock and his channelings. And I started writing that in the year 2000. And then in 2002, I had a new girlfriend. And we were driving from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon. It was pouring rain, and we did a prayer of protection. And at the end of the prayer, I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" And she answered and said, "We're here. What are your questions?"
Okay.
I said, what is this? Well, I asked some questions, and I thought she was kidding me. I thought mm-hmm. she knew I was writing the book about Wilcock. And mm-hmm. After a few minutes, she said, "That's the strangest thing that ever happened to me."
Mm-hmm.
So 3 days later, we were in Portland, and I said, "Do you want to try that again?" And I took a tape recorder out. And I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" And again, she answered. And I said, "How come my girlfriend can do this?" And they said, "Your girlfriend is from another dimension. She came here to bring these messages in, and this is a really important connection." And I
right.
said, How do I know she's not crazy? Can you guys predict a newspaper headline?" And they said, "Watch for this headline in 2 weeks." And they gave me a headline. And it happened.
Right.
So now they really had my attention.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure they were positive. I mean,
yeah.
I already had read a lot about how negative mm-hmm. sources cut in on the line and will act positive. And to my understanding and my discernment, there's a lot of New Age sources that look positive that aren't,
mm-hmm.
that are just, taking people on the wrong path. But for the next 6 months, she would just interrupt and say, "Those guys want to talk to you again." I'd pull
mm-hmm.
out the tape recorder, I'd start recording it,
mm-hmm.
and I'd ask questions. And I asked, hundreds of questions about the book I was writing, because mm-hmm. what I just told you about the rock group and their connection to history and their connection to Jesus and whatever, my conscious mind was not really able to assimilate it. I was writing the book as a scholar, and I was telling people, you'll have to decide yourself if this mm-hmm. is real or not. And now I'm asking all these questions that were things that were coming through David, and they're giving me exactly the same answers. It was like having a second opinion from a doctor or something. And I started to get this gut-level thing that, like, uh-oh, maybe I'm right. Maybe this is all right. Maybe I am writing a book that's bringing the current message of the same source Jesus called Father into the world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because even when they said that, I didn't believe it. I said, I'm open to the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere near this, probably into month 4 of my experience, I have a call from my brother-in-law, and he says, my sister's going in the hospital, and they don't think she's going to survive. And I then did a channeling, and I said, can you help my sister? And they said they could. Now, I'm just experimenting. I don't know that they can help her. I'm just saying, okay, let's see what happens. Well, the next day, I got a call from my brother-in-law that my sister survived this critical operation, and that, and then we just hung up. And a few weeks later, I wasn't convinced, by the way, that they did that. I said, this must be coincidence.
It must be hard working with you, Wynn.
Pardon me?
They do all this stuff and you still don't believe. I'm just saying they must be laughing at that.
Well, you know what? I think they liked that I'm this way, because when I finally convinced myself, I'm able to convince other people. I don't just say this voice is saying this and I'm giving up my power. I constantly test it. And one of the reasons is because I've learned that a negative source can always come in the middle of a positive source and take over mm-hmm. the line. And that's one of the things that happens with a lot of channels. They start giving up their power to the channel and their trust to the channel, mm-hmm. and then they don't use their discernment anymore, and it's very easy for a negative source to start bringing disinformation in. So, in any case, a few weeks later, I get another call from my brother-in-law, and he says, something really strange happened. Joanne went in for tests, and the nurse said the cancer was completely gone, but there was something wrong with the test. And they tested it three times, and they kept getting the same result. Her lupus went away.
The first test had to be wrong.
Her lupus went away, and lupus never goes away. It never mm-hmm. disappears from a medical test. And so now I'm convinced they did it. Okay, so I go back and I ask them. I said, how did you guys do that? And they mm-hmm. said, we just projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus mm-hmm. out.
And,
is that all? I said,
Lupus is a contamination.
I'm dealing with something here.
Yeah.
This is real.
It's a frequency,
so,
definitely.
The woman who was doing this was freaking out over it,
mm-hmm.
and she left me probably about 2 weeks after that. It scared her, and she actually mm-hmm. came from a Catholic background, and she was saying, how do I know this is positive? This is scary. Who's talking to us? Well, a few weeks went by, and I called up my long-term friend. I was suffering from a broken heart. And she came over, and in the middle of the night, she woke me up and said, get the tape recorder out. And a voice started coming through her that said it was the same source that was speaking through Daphne, and that mm-hmm. What I was doing was really important, and I could reach them through Terry. Now, truthfully, I was like in the middle of a sci-fi movie, Susan. I mean, this can't be real. She must be jealous. She must be making this up to get my attention. Well, for the next few months, we did the same thing. I asked questions and they answered the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was one of the clinchers. I asked them, was Terry ever anybody famous? And I didn't expect to get an answer. They don't just, if they don't want to answer a question, they say, it's not good to know that yet, or, you know,
right,
we're going to leave that for later. And in Terry's case, they answered the question, and they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. Mm-hmm. And I never heard of St. Catherine, but I looked her up, and I read the story of this young woman, Catholic woman in Siena, Italy, in 1400 A.D. approximately, who would go into the local church, and they would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her.
Right.
And
it doesn't change much.
No. And actually, a lot of her work was talking about the corruption in the church and how to fix the mm-hmm. corruption in the church.
Right.
And St. Catherine's Dialogues with God are still available at bookstores and on Amazon.
Right.
And officially recognized by the Catholic Church. That's why she was sainted. Well,
right,
you know, the real clincher here was that Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Did you see those pictures? Did you look those up?
No. But I interviewed the doctor that wrote the book, Return of the Revolutionaries. So I studied all mm-hmm. his material.
Mm-hmm. I learned through Wilcock that people tend to look like their past lives, because when you die, your DNA travels through your soul stream,
mm-hmm.
and when the soul enters the new fetus, it programs mm-hmm. the fetus with the old DNA of the past life.
Right.
So they have really got my attention now, okay? They have passed a lot of my tests. There's a lot more things that happened that I'm not going to go into. But the voice that was talking to me was the other group soul. And mm-hmm. they called themselves the Council of Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked up and Googled Elohim on the Internet, I found things like the creators of the physical universe.
Right.
The name for God in the Old Testament. The name the Mormons use for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I asked them, excuse me, are you the same Elohim?
Right.
And they said, we're part of that group.
Yeah.
And I said, why are you talking to me? Mm-hmm. And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You're trusted, and we trust you not to corrupt the message.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had another revelation in 2004. And in mm-hmm. 2004, I did my first public talk on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce at an expo in San Diego. And as I was talking, there was this huge energy that was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it. I could feel it. I've always been
right.
sensitive to energy. And at different times, there's been a couple of spiritual teachers that I've had where I could sit in the room and feel this incredible energy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was looking into the room, and that energy was in the room while I was talking. And people would leave the room to go buy books, and Terry was selling books outside mm-hmm. the door. And they would come up and say, God, I could see auras. I never saw auras before. I could see energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and did a channeling, and I said, could you explain that energy that was in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you.
Right. Yeah. I've had that happen before. Let me just tell you a quick story about the Elohim you might find interesting. I was out in California giving a lecture at one of the Kundalini conferences, and I went back to mm-hmm. my room, and the Elohim came to me, and I didn't know much about them either, and they wanted to give a message through me, and they wanted me to write it down. So I wrote this paper called Kundalini, the Challenge of Change from the Elohim, and what was so weird mm-hmm. was that it was obvious it was a higher dimensional group soul that looked on the human race as a single organism. And it was channeled mm-hmm. from that perspective. you know, not, it was talking to the human race, not as, you know, as they, as the creator gods of the human race would see them. And it was a very weird piece of work. I think I've got it up on my website, but I do have it, and I think it was around 1991 that it came through. But that was my introduction to the Elohim. And it was like, it was so strange because I got to see how they looked at us, which was very loving, but very, you know, it's not a human perspective. And I could not have written that. You see what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
It's not my perspective, you know.
I would say that in at the beginning in particular, that's how they were seeing us. In fact, I asked the question. I said, how do you notice us? How can you notice us individually? And they said, we can tell when somebody penetrates the veil, and we can see their energy go through the veil.
Bright light. And, right, that's what they told
me.
And
then we know they're ready for connection.
And then they contact you. I mean, literally. I didn't even know that the Elohim were the creator gods. But they said, we are the Elohim. And I said, okay, what do you want? He said, we want you to take this down. I said, okay. You know, so I did.
You know, one of the things about the Elohim, about both group souls, is that the group souls make connection with this realm in two ways. One way is they talk to people, and that's what we're talking about. I had communication, you had communication, other people have communication.
Right. Lots of people have communication.
But the second way they make connection, and this is what I learned from my own experience, is they have the ability to project energy into this realm. They call it love, light, energy. In a way, that we can feel it. And
that was what was in the room
way,
with you.
Pardon me?
That was what was in the room with you that day.
Yes, yes. I mean, since that time, that was in 2004, I said, I'm going to experiment with this. And I found that every time I gave a public talk, they were in the room. And I asked them, I said, if I do a conference call, could you project this to people in the conference call? And they said they could. So we started doing conference calls, and it was a big experiment for, like, I don't really know how to do this. I had to say, if I do this, will they do that, and will this happen? People started coming into my conference calls, and occasionally they'd write me and they'd say, my cancer went away, or this went away, or something happened. And they would say they were working individually with people. Like, those of you who are listening who find this fascinating, we're doing 3 conference calls a week right now. And they're open to the public, and there's no charge. I didn't really want to do 3 conference calls a week. I was going to do one thing a week. I do a VBS show on Monday nights, and I was going to just continue doing the VBS show, but it just evolved because I found that so many people right now are going through such intense stuff, and that if they would come to the conference calls regularly and start making these connections, these vibrational connections with the higher realms, that it started to chill them out, cool them out. They got a feeling that everything is okay. One of the things that has anyone who's listening to my conference calls regularly gets the idea that, okay, I'm not afraid of dying. I mean, it's just a transition from here to there. And once you lose the fear of death, it's hard to be controlled at that point by anything.
Right.
Because that's how people control you. Because if you're in the illusion that this life is all there is, and when you die, you're not going to exist anymore, then it's a really easy way to have fear, because then you're always afraid of dying. So the Elohim existed as a bunch of spirit forms prior to their entry into the before there was a physical universe. And they were, the way they describe it, there was one original energy, which they referred to as the one infinite creator. And that original energy didn't think of itself as God or exalted. It just was kind of lonely because there was nothing else. And it was the first awareness. It was the first moving from chaos into organization. And so this original source energy was able to divide itself, recreate itself. And it became 2, 4, 6, 8. Before you know it, there were millions of these energy awarenesses. But there was no physical universe. And they were just having fun. And they didn't think of themselves as exalted. There was nothing to be exalted from anyway.
Right.
And
it was just there.
They would experiment. And there was no persistence at that time. Everything was like in the moment. Everything was like what you think. It just happens, and then it goes away. So the goal was to create persistence, to create, can something hold? And they learned how to. Now, I've asked them loads of questions about this, and it's fascinating, their answers, because they talked about how they created frequencies, and they worked together, and they beamed frequencies. And at the nodes, there would be the beginning of the atom, and things would be spinning, and eventually they started to have persistence, and they started to have the beginnings of a physical universe. And to them, it was like an aquarium. It was like, wow, did you see that? Look at that, you know? And
look what we made.
Pardon me?
I said, look what we made.
Look what we made, right.
Right, just the fun of creation.
So they gave the beings, as life forms started to develop, they gave the beings free will. And they did not want to be a nursemaid to the beings. They just wanted to let it evolve. And then they were able to come into this realm and leave it again. And they would come in and they would share space with one of the beings here and then go back into their spirit forms. And then I believe it was through having sex. When the being had sex and they were part of the sex, their energy got pulled into another being, and then they got trapped, and they couldn't leave. And then they got stuck in reincarnation, and after a while, they didn't know they were Elohim anymore, because every time you take a body, you have amnesia, right?
Right.
So they didn't know they were Elohim, and they were stuck in reincarnation, but they had power over the other beings here because they were very evolved. They had high DNA activation.
Right.
And so they played the power card, and they became what we call the negative. It was the beginning of the negative, where the descended Elohim. And of course, if you're reading the Bible talks about fallen angels, and this is just another way of looking at it, probably closer to how it really was. Yeah. And so the celestial Elohim said, geez, things are getting out of hand down there. People are suffering. There's all this control.
Yeah.
And they have been available to contribute. But it's very hard to make a connection down here. It doesn't get distorted. In other words, if I'm really talking to the Elohim, and actually I'm communicating with both group souls at this point, but if I'm really doing that, it would be a great temptation on my part to put myself on a pedestal, to say, worship me, be a messianic figure. People are having miracles around me. But I have absolutely no interest in that. In fact, I was afraid to talk about it because I was afraid people would do that and I would get stuck and I wouldn't know how to get out of it. But we have a very co-creative connection. And you know, if you're interested in listening in on these conversations, because we do them live on these conference calls, which is apparently a really rare thing to be happening in this realm, live conversations with this kind of source. And we do one call on VBS on Monday night at 6 p.m. Pacific. And Terry's on the line, and we bring in the energy. And I learned to trust Terry. And I have the feeling that most of the time we're positive. I don't think negative stuff gets in there. But I always tell people, don't believe it's positive. Check it out from your own experiences and kick my tires for a while. It took me 3 years. So I suggest that give yourself at least a couple of months checking it out. But if you download my book that I mentioned earlier, creatorgodbook.com, creatorgodbook.com, you'll get invitations to the conference calls in your email and a lot of other interesting stuff. So it's worth checking out. I mean, one of the reasons this idea of projecting light from the higher dimensions into this realm is so important. Let me see how much time we have. It's 9:43. Susan, before I say that, am I missing any important questions that you wanted to ask?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about what the Elohim and the Ra group say is coming up with the Ascension. I think many people, you know, I've said on this program before that the only sources that I really put any stock in are the higher dimensional sources as to what's going to happen, because they're the only people that can really see what, you know, the things from a true perspective, because we're kind of stuck in, in the third and fourth dimensions here, and we can't see into the higher dimensions, but it's true that the higher dimensions can view the lower dimensions a lot better than we can view the higher dimensions. So
okay,
if you want to know what's happening, you might as well ask them.
I've had a number of questions about that ongoing, okay?
Yes.
And, of course, what is ascension? Some people think that ascension means you are going to be on this earth and you're suddenly going to disappear and you're going to end up somewhere else in a higher dimension. Mm-hmm. And other people think the whole planet is ascending and that everyone is going to end up in a higher dimension. And I've asked numerous questions about this. And I'll try to give you, let me see, how much time? Are you over at 10 or at 5 of 10?
5 of 10. Well, 5 of...
5 of...
Well, it's, yeah, 5 of 10.
5 of 10.
Right.
Let me... We got 9 minutes to put this together, okay?
The short version.
Okay. First of all, I want to say, use your own discernment. You have to study me a lot more to make me an authority and to believe what I say. So I'm not going to say to believe this. But what's going on is we're at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and everyone agrees on that. And the Earth is moving from third density, third chakra to fourth chakra. The Earth has been a third chakra planet for 75,000 years. That means the lesson in this realm was power and individuality, and it's moving into compassion. And that's why the Mayan calendar ends in 2012, because we are at the highest point of energy flowing into our planet right now. And of course, people said that Jesus said there's going to be a rapture, and some people think that's what is going to be happening. And in the Wilcock material and in the Ruckert material, the Ra group explained that in order for it to continue on this upgraded earth, on this fourth chakra earth, their heart chakra has to be open slightly. Otherwise, they're not going to fit.
Right.
If they don't fit, they're going to get moved to another planet in another star system, start over. Maybe hundreds of thousands or millions of years of incarnations. So what we're having is a division of souls now. Those people that are going to graduate and those people that are going to be cycle repeaters. Mm-hmm. In order to graduate this realm, your heart has to be open slightly more than half. You have to be slightly more than half service to others. And that will be your qualifications. Now, are you going to leave this realm in a physical body? I've asked that question, and I've asked a lot of questions. And most people are not going to qualify for a full body leaving of this realm. And when I asked a question about that, they said, in order to have a full body ascension, all your chakras have to be open slightly more than half.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. And very few people will qualify that. Then they described something which they called an astral ascension, which was you would die a normal death, but if you've qualified from your heart chakra, you would be worked on in the other realms, and at that point, your next lifetime would be in this higher dimensional Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole planet is not going to graduate. It could if there was some miracle that happened, but the negative is doing all kinds of shenanigans to keep things contracted. Now, is the negative good? Now, a lot of people think that there's space beings that are going to come down and help us, and that there's millions of spaceships around the Earth that are going to help us. Now, when I've asked those questions, that's not true. That's a projection of the negative to keep people distracted. The channelings and stuff, there's a lot of things the negative does to keep your attention not pointed at the highest level, but the expectation of something that's going to happen in the future. And the thing is, there is no such thing as a future. There is only the now. The only thing is the now and having your heart open in the now. That's why I do 3 conference calls a week, because it creates an energy. You feel how the energy just shifted right then?
Mm-hmm.
We stopped being in our minds talking about this, and there was more space. And in that space are these very sources I'm talking about. That's what's so amazing. They come in the spaces. And that is the best way to prepare yourself for this is to be in the moment, to love your neighbor as part of yourself, and have no fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do all that, you've got nothing to worry about. And if you can't, find something that directs you towards there. There's a lot of things that will get your attention because we're hopeful. We want things to happen, and we think things are going to happen because of something external, and they're going to save us. What's going to happen on our planet, as I've learned it, is dependent upon the collective energy of the planet. You know, you said they looked at us as one being, and that's kind of another way of what I'm just saying, because, you know, there's negative and positive on our planet, and it depends on where the scales are of whether our whole planet's going to work together. Chances are it's not, but maybe it will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of light workers holding energy all over the place, and it's making a huge difference. Every Sunday, one of my conference calls, I call it a grizzling. We actually bring their energy in. We create a group intention of all the people on the call, plus all these interdimensional sources. This is the amazing mm-hmm. thing I've learned. They're really close. All you got to do is say, okay, we're ready, and they show up. But it sounds easy, but you have to be sure that when you say show up, that something negative doesn't show up and make pretend it's mm-hmm. positive. That's the trick in this realm. I mean, if something says it's the Elohim, if something says it's Jesus and it's channeling through somebody, how do you know they are who they say they are? You got to find something you can actually check out, kick, and trust. And I think mm-hmm. one of the things about the positive is that they can flow this energy into the space, and the negative can't, as far as I know.
Right.
So
yeah,
look fair. look for the energy coming in. Look for the energy that makes people love each other, makes people open up their hearts. And the chances are you got something really positive. And then don't let go of it. Take a ride on it. Surf it till you learn how to hold it yourself. And that is how I see it. Are we going to have catastrophes? Probably.
We're already having catastrophes.
We're already having catastrophes, and we're going to have more. And yeah. I mean, one of the things they tell me is the consciousness of an area can protect it. So
right.
it's a matter
especially
of,
for tornadoes.
How many people are holding positive energy in your area?
Mm-hmm.
One person can hold for a lot of people. So once you make an energetic connection with this stuff, once you make that connection, you'll be impacting thousands of people around you. I don't know if thousands, at least, you know, somebody said 1,000. But you change the vibrational structure because mm-hmm. you can flow the energy into your space. You can expand into the higher realms and hold the energy of the higher realms, and in which case you're a best-case scenario light worker at that point because
right. And the light workers are often working in groups. Yeah, the light workers are often meeting in groups. The group
yes.
I've been with has been since 1990. So now we're mm-hmm. meeting three times a week and specifically guided to do that. Very specific work that we're doing for protection and very specific work we're doing in conjunction with other similar groups. So there's groups all mm-hmm. over the world being specifically guided at this time for protection.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you do what you're guided to do, and then you look around and see, you know, how the weather patterns kind of go around Atlanta rather than coming into it, you know. It's very interesting. The tornadoes
right.
stop and then veer off, you know. It's very interesting. See what happens.
So find a group that you can affiliate it with, that you can
right.
feel the energy. Don't just believe in it. You got to feel the energy. And if you can't find a group in your area, come to my conference calls because
right.
that's why it's
exactly.
doing the conference calls because people can feel the energy on the conference calls. They talk to us. We ask them questions. People
yeah.
on the call submit questions to me. It's a very great opportunity to transform yourself. The
right.
worst case scenario is don't be alone, don't be isolated, don't be alienated. Get over your unworthiness, or at least push
mm-hmm.
through it. It doesn't go away easily, but unworthiness contracts your energy, and
and
be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
Learn how to process yourself.
Yeah.
Learn how
we're
to
coming
let
up.
The, all the
We're coming up at the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information, especially for your ebook and the conference information?
Well, the easiest thing is to get the ebook, creatorgodbook.com. Sign up for it. You'll get it in your email, and then you're on my mailing list. And
right.
then we're going to send you loads of emails. You're either going to get sick of me, or you're going to say, well, one is when sending his next email, and you're going to get invited to my calls. Let me
right.
say it again: creatorgodbook.com, creatorgodbook.com, and reading the book will help validate the experience mm-hmm. that I've had, so you can run it through your own discernment process, which is very important.
And I want to add, too, that this interdimensional communication at this time is very important. The information coming mm-hmm. in is very helpful. I think it's extremely important for anybody who's on the planet right now, irregardless of their belief systems. If you could mm-hmm. just keep an open mind toward it, it will prove itself to you as useful over time. And so this is a time that we need this interdimensional communication because it's like a fish in water. The fish can't tell anything about the water it's in. You know, it needs somebody outside mm-hmm. the water to see what's happening to the fish in water. You know, we're like we're in a dimension, but we need the help of beings in a higher dimension to understand an mm-hmm. interdimensional shift that we're going through.
And we need to cast our vote so they have more ability to do interventions. The Elohim told me
right.
they could stop a nuclear weapon from going off if enough people
exactly.
ask. That's what we do on
exactly.
our conference calls.
That's exactly right. They work through the energy of us.
Right.
You know,
right.
to get into physicality.
They're
not physical beings.
That energy,
so they can't.
In this realm.
Yeah, they. Right. That's very
now,
true.
I wanted to just
well, you're doing great work, Wynn.
Thank you so much. And I wanted to just say The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is also a very mm-hmm. valuable book filled with wisdom of how
it
to...
Is.
The Ra group is wiser than the Elohim group. The Elohim group is more powerful. And
mm-hmm.
connect with the wisdom of the Ra group. I have another website, returnofedgar.com, where you
mm-hmm.
can purchase that book. You can get it through that site at Amazon, or you can get my special where you can get one of an actual recording of an actual channeling through David Wilcock that we
right.
did where they talked about the shift.
Well,
and
thank you so much, Wynn. I appreciate you being on with us, and hopefully we can have you on again. Next week, we're going to be talking to Dr. Fatimi, the episode of Life, Consciousness, Creation, and the Universe. Next week, it is the I Can Do It retreat here in Atlanta. There's also one in San Jose, Vancouver, and Toronto in the upcoming months. If you'll go to icandoit.net, find out dates for a city near you, or call 1-800-654-5126. So, Wynn, thanks so much for joining us. I think it's been a really good discussion with really good suggestions.
Thank you.
I hope people join your conference calls as a means to connect with this energy.
Thank you so much, Susan, and thanks for inviting me.
All righty. Take care. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.